than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. This is our first Red Eye review of the new season. So excited to get things started because, man, did Sunday go differently than a lot of people thought, including myself and Josh. We didn't think it was going to go that way, but thankfully it did. The Ravens come out of the first game against the Bengals with a win. Joining me, as always, to break it all down, Josh, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm pumped after that, and I'm happy the Ravens proved me wrong, man. And none of us expected that. Man, was that a game.
That was a great game. Yeah, and like you said, no one was expecting it. I definitely did not. Let's start it off. Let's talk about all the good stuff. How about that defense? Holy cow, we were speculating last week. Can this defense live up to all the hype? What do you think? How did the defense look to you? Because, my God, I was impressed.
Dude, I was impressed beyond measure, man. And just from the get-go, they set the tone, man. And they kept it all the way through the game, pedal to the metal in defense. The only team this weekend to prove a shutout. Just think about this. The Ravens' first shutout as a team since 2009. They shut out the Bengals at home for the first. I don't know if it was an opener for the first time since 1979 or if it was at home ever since 1979. But the fact remains is the Bengals got shut out at home for the first time since 1979. So the Ravens set some history here. And not only that, maybe they heard me. Remember how I was saying when you asked, hey, Josh, do they compare to the 2000 Ravens? And I was like, no, Brandon, they're the 2017 squad. Be the best they can be. They heard me because apparently they showed shades of the 2000 defense with a shutout, five turnovers, five sacks with Suggs turning back the clock with two on his own, deflected balls. I could break this down all day long, but just going from there, how about the tenacity? How about the aggressiveness on defense? The organized chaos looked back for full force, man, and I was pleased to death.
I'm glad you brought it up, starting with Terrell Suggs. This guy is a machine. I don't think I have seen him look this good in years. You can obviously tell he is excited about the people that are around him. He trusts the people that are around him. I think he's having the most fun he's had in a long time on the field. Terrell Suggs, again, you would think this guy was maybe in his second, third year to playing. He looked fantastic. And the last couple years, Terrell Suggs has been coming off of injuries. He's looked a little slow, sluggish out there. Definitely not. And everyone's saying he's on the back nine. He even said it. But man, if this is the back nine for Terrell Suggs, I mean, the back nine could go on for 10, 15 more years the way this guy's playing. He looked amazing. Just an absolute beast, as always, out there. But this is the best Terrell Suggs has looked in a long time.
It is, and he said he was in the best shape, and it shows, man. He's just fast. He's fierce. Terrell Suggs is back. Whether this is his last year, he's proven again. Now, maybe he's got more left in the tank than we thought, and a healthy Terrell Suggs and a lean and mean Terrell Suggs is good for us, bad for opposing offenses. But and speaking of that, of all the weapons that the Bengals have, Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, they got the rookie Mixon, they have Ross. They didn't really do anything much. They were quiet all day. Now, they had a drive sustain where they were hitting the slant route right over the middle, and we couldn't cover it. Mm-hmm. And in our own right, where we let them in the red zone with our own turnovers, but the defense stood tall in the red zone a few times. C.J. Mosley intercepted the pass in the end zone. Suggs came around with the sack fumble, and we recovered. So there was a lot of big playability, and we missed that. And, you know, Jimmy Smith got in on the party. I believe Eric Weddle got a pick. Brandon Carr, newest Raven this year, has a pick. But I'm going to hone in on this, man. Remember, I was talking and breaking this down on the Purple Friday preview how they would need to continue what they do in this preseason, getting the hands up. And how about that? Every time, man. Every time Ann Dunn goes back, he's throwing it right to him. And everything just proved great on the defense, man. All systems firing.
Yeah, you brought up in the preseason how there were so many batted footballs coming out of, I guess everybody was getting their hands up. That seems to be a big part of this defense. We saw a pop-up. I think it was Terrell Suggs who had a pop-up, and Lardarius Webb was the one who came back and was able to get the ball. Obviously, they want to get in every quarterback's, well, maybe not every, this is week one, but the plan was to get in the quarterback's face, not give him a lot of time, and also not give him a lot of room to work. This team definitely seemed as if they had they watched the game footage. They were ready to go, and they took everything they didn't or thought about doing in training camp and applied it to this game, and it worked very well. I mean, but let's talk about the batted balls. We saw that in preseason. It's definitely been a part of this defense. What did you think? Could you imagine that they did that many times in this game and were successful?
I mean, I couldn't envision that, but seeing it now, I'm a firm believer, and they make a believer at all. Not to say I didn't doubt our guys, but again, first game of the season, going in, we didn't know what our offense was going to be like. We thought we knew in breaking the defense down what the defense was going to bring, and it proved, but we just didn't know. Being on the road, we haven't won there in a while. Everything just pointed to that loss, as I stated in the Purple Five preview, and they just basically just overturned it all and just demolished that and just created their own game plan and said, you know what, we're going to start fast and furious. And it kind of broke loose in that first half. I want to break that down. Just how quick we started, you know, the defense is, you know, we went on defense first. Obviously, you know, they got the first down, but then we went three and out after that, and where they went three and out, and we caused that. And it just was great to see the defense digging in. And then, you know, how about the offense? And it just sucks for Woodhead. But you even asked me, you said, Josh, you know, is Woodhead going to be involved in the offense? What are they going to use him for? And, dude, he was practically the starting running back, practically. And he great, two great passes, one key pass on third down and eight on the sideline to create that first down and goal. And you know, we'll break down the positives and negatives on this one on the back end. But how unfortunate, again. Woodhead, and I've heard the several rumblings that this could be true. We knew this was going to happen, but his new nickname has to be Hammy Woodhead, because man, I mean, hate to say that and be corny and cheesy, but dude, you got to keep that thing straight. And he's out 4 to 6 weeks because of that. And again, it's a little injury, but it's going to lead to more time missed, and he's going to be missed solely, man, because on that first drive, he was featured heavily, man.
It was very obvious that that Danny Woodhead was going to be a huge part of this offense.
Hammy Woodhead.
Hammy Woodhead there. But
cool. There you go. Thanks, man.
He was supposed to be, I mean, if you listen to any sort of Ravens analyst or anything like that, he was going to be the new Kyle Juszczyk. He was going to be the new Dennis Pitta. He was Joe Flacco's safety blanket. You know, when something wasn't looking good, he was just going to pitch it off to Danny Woodhead, get a couple yards, keep the ball moving. I brought it up last week, and I think we brought it up when he got signed. Can this guy stay healthy? He's been plagued all his career with injuries. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm not shocked it happened. I mean, I was shocked he even got a playoff without getting hurt. This guy is very injury prone. It sucks. He's got talent, but man, if he has the inability to stay healthy, you really can't count on him, and that sucks. I mean, I'm not positive right off the top of my head. I'll have to look it up of how long that the Ravens have signed him for. But I mean, if he continues to get injured, I can't see how he has much longer of a career in the NFL. The Ravens may have, you know, they did great drafting and getting all the pieces for the defense, but this may have been a misfire in the offseason, because he just, you can't count on him, unfortunately.
I mean, you think it's a misfire. It just sucks. Defense usually stay away from those injury-prone players. If you really look at their history, not only the troublemakers, but they stay away from those injury guys. And you don't want to put the investment out there if you're not going to get a return on it. And unfortunately, we're not going to get a return 4 to 6 weeks from now. Get healthy. It's mid-year, but we'll see how that plays out. But it's just, you know, too little too late. But at least it's not a season-ending injury if you look at any silver lining.
All right, so I mean, let's stick to the defensive side of the ball before we jump to the offense. We have to, another injury we got to talk about. Zardarius Smith went down as we're recording this on Tuesday night. I haven't heard anything about how long he'll be out, what the injury is. I think they're still getting he's still getting checked out with MRIs and that kind of stuff. But what does this mean for the defense? I mean, yeah, the defense looked great in the first game, even when Zardarius Smith went down. But it always sucks to lose somebody in that original, you know, lineup, and they're going to have to adjust. It seems like they did okay without him, but still, I mean, this is going to affect the depth chart in some way, right?
Well, it's going to shake up everything because, again, you're going to shift the linebacking core, the pass rushing core. It's a void that we need, but not to say we want anybody hurt on the team, especially on defense or offense or special teams. But if anything, the position that we lose there, we're actually strong in. So it ends up being a good thing for us, even though, again, we don't want any injuries. And we wish Zadarius Smith a full recovery on that. But just unfortunate to lose the guy. I mean, I had high hopes. He was my pick a few years ago as a rookie, and now I was excited to see what he can bring this year. And you know, and unfortunately, it's just not going to work out. And you know, we want to keep the injuries to a minimum. The injuries, we'll get to that at the end of the show, but injuries have plagued the league tremendously on week one, and it's just been nuts, man. Injury reports just stacking up with stars, and you know, we hate to see one of our own go down, but it, you know, unfortunately, we have to say this, that at least it was kept to a minimum. Look what the resilience of this team, though. Not to say these guys weren't warranted on the field, but look how the team became one and, you know, pissed a shutout, 20-0. When these guys were lost early in the game, it wasn't like it was late fourth quarter and we had the game in hand and wired these guys in. You know, it's these guys were trying to help us, you know, get to that point, and we lost them along the way, and then we ended up putting a 20-0 effort on the board. So it just makes it that more exciting. If we can be that kind of team and these guys get back, we're just going to get stronger.
Now, today news broke that Brandon Williams was getting his contract restructured, even though he had just signed it in this offseason. Is that a sign, potentially, that there's going to be a signing of somebody new coming out, and maybe Zardarius or Hammy Woodhead is out for this season, that we're not going to see them anymore, and they're going to have to spend a little of that cash to get somebody off the free agent market?
It's a very likely possibility. When I read that, that's exactly what I thought. It was probably going to be a move of, we're going to probably move to sign somebody. And, you know, everybody, especially on Twitter, was asking me today, a few of the fans were like, you know, what are they going to do? I feel a running back here because we're so thin. You look at it this way, man. Terrence West and Buck Allen were the only two running backs on the active roster for Sunday. So if one of them go down, who knows? Two of them go down. We have what the Packers have with a Ty Montgomery as a receiver turned running back, you know, playing out there. So we did have Jeremy Langford on the practice squad, former Bear. I don't know what his services are, if he's going to be called up to the 53-man roster when that. And then even then, speaking of the practice squad, a fan favorite of this preseason came back, and Danny Woodrum is welcome back to the practice squad. So again, because these guys get cut, it's not parting ways. You know, they're always invited back various ways. We make moves all the time. It's not an end-all be-all. So Danny Woodrum on the practice squad. We have a Jeremy Langford out there. Let's see what our in-house talent has there on in the practice pool. This does look like a move to probably get, you know, maybe a defensive starter and or a running back. But I feel like running back's a big priority.
That's right. And it's Josh Woodrum, not Danny Woodrum. Hammy Woodhead, you know, not switching names. You got to call him Josh Woodrum.
There you go. Did I say Danny Woodrum?
Yeah. We did it for a whole show a couple weeks ago. So, I mean,
Danny Woodhead, Josh Woodrum. How can I forget my name? But, you know, sorry, Josh. I you know, butchered that. But in keeping the spirit of things, and you know, we just wish these guys well. And if they come up, you know, we're excited to see what they can bring to the team. Again, the Woodrum signing back to the practice squad doesn't mean that Mallett's out as a backup. Sure. Everybody was asking about that. It just means that it gives us more depth in case anything were to go down. But speaking of that,
I think the Ravens wanted to keep him anyway. I think they put him out on waivers and they were planning to bring him back, but he unfortunately got picked up. So I think that the original plan was for him to join the practice squad anyway. It just happened a little bit later than they thought.
And that's a good point, too. You just never know with those kind of moves, and I'm happy it worked out for us. Because, again, he was a favorite. I love this play and see what he can bring. And speaking of that, speaking of the quarterbacks, our own number five, man, he came back. It was great to see him dressed in action. He looked fine. Just looking overall of the game, he was a game manager. We didn't ask him to throw 5 touchdowns and 0 picks, you know. He completed 9 passes all day to his receivers, and one couldn't have been more huge than Jimmy Macklin's debut, man. And how about that? A 48-yard touchdown strike, and if you recall, and I get excited about this, Flacco in the Super Bowl 47 called an audible to Anquan Boldin on 3rd-and-1 to throw it up to him on a one-on-one coverage. It was said, and it was confirmed, Flacco called an audible in this play. Right to Macklin, it was a perfect play, a pick play. It got Macklin open in the middle field. He showed his speed, what he can do, why he signed him, and it was a 48-yard touchdown, our only lone touchdown pass of the day, which formed to be all that we needed for the passing touchdowns. And Joe Flacco was a game manager. We didn't ask him to do much. Got out there, got his feet wet in the season, and he did take a crazy hit, which, and I went back and looked at the replay, it was Austin Howard's guy on the edge. I'd like to see Howard block a little bit more, but again, they pretty much kept Flacco off his back, and that was the one few times that Flacco was really whacked and really drilled. And but he went to the tent, he was tested out for concussion, he was fine, came back, and as I said, Joe Flacco's fine, and just can't really be excited too much, or I can't be even more excited to see what is to come of this passing offense. But we've seen shades of it, and man, welcome Jeremy Macklin, that's awesome.
Yeah, you covered a lot of bases there, so let's break this down a little bit more. I agree. You said Joe Flacco looked fine. I gotta say, Joe Flacco looked lean. He looked like he's put on some muscle, lost some weight from the last couple years. He was walking in his all blue suit, and I was like, man, this guy looks like he's ready for business. Like he definitely looked like he was ready to go. And I think he may be like Terrell Suggs. I don't know if these guys are doing DDP yoga or whatnot, but it looked like these two guys are definitely in the best shape they've been in a long time. So that's great to see. And you and I were talking about it last week. How is Joe Flacco going to do with the new guys like Danny Woodhead and Jeremy Macklin? And because he's never played with him before. And you know, at the beginning of the game with Danny Woodhead, the two of those guys looked great, and they looked like they were having fun out there, and that they were playing well. And then that audible to Macklin, I mean, that was just beautiful. I mean, that was one of the best plays of the entire weekend of football that we've watched Thursday through Monday. You absolutely love that 48-yard touchdown. Macklin looked like him and Joe have been best buds for years and years and years, and they've been playing together for years. And that's great to see. And like you said, Joe Flacco did get hit, and we didn't want to see that this year. But I did want to bring up the new rules with the NFL. They have independent medical people on the sidelines now looking for injuries. And they have a tent set up. This is one of the things they have in the NHL, actually, is that it's called a quiet room. And if somebody were to get hit in the head or there's a potential of a concussion, they have to leave the game, sit in the quiet room, and kind of the doctors get to put them through some tests or whatever to see if there's a concussion or something else there. And again, we talked about concussions just a couple weeks ago. Even though it does, you know, affect the game a little bit, I think it's in the best interest of the players to have that quiet room area to make sure everybody's okay. Luckily, Joe came back to the game. But I like the fact that there's these independent medical people out there looking for potential injuries, so we make sure these guys, you know, don't have you know, long-term effects of playing, especially to something like the brain. And if you remember, when Joe went down 2 seasons ago, who was the backup from Houston that that replaced Joe for 1 or 2 games?
Matt Schaub.
Matt Schaub. That's right. Thank you. He got hit, and I was watching it on TV, and his head bounced off the ground, and I'm watching it live going, that's a concussion, take him out of the game. And he wasn't taken out of the game. And I you listen to our old show when that happened, and I kind of put the Ravens and the NFL to task for letting him stay in the game. The next play was an interception because he didn't know who he was throwing to. I mean, I could spot it from my television. Concussion right there. So the fact that they have these people specifically out there to look for concussions and bring the players over It disrupts the game. I mean, there will probably be a time where we are cursing this thing, but I love the fact that they did that. They saw Joe got hit. It looked like his head hit the ground. They had him sit for a little bit, and he was okay and can return to the game. I think this is a great advancement for the game.
It sure is, man. And I have no quarrels or queens about it for the first week. I mean, it's been proof fine. People go there. I have a pleasure going there to get treated. Instead of walking all the way back to the locker room, it's very convenient. And I've always had that, too. And I'm very curious on how, of all the state-of-the-art technology and all the money they all make and how few games they play every year, you can't really have anything set up on the sideline to tend to these guys. I mean, especially when they're hurt and they got to cart them back all the way to the locker room. Like, why can't they just put them on a stretcher, cart them over to the sideline and work on them there in a private tent? I mean, obviously you don't want all the fans staring at you, but that's why they have the tent for privacy. But I feel like it's a great move for the NFL on a few things they usually get right every year. Some things do, some things don't. But, that's also brings up a good point, too, because it's you guys monitoring the concussions, monitoring the injuries, and, hey, are you good to go? And you don't want to put them out there if they're going to be in harm's way and not only be hurting themselves further, but hurting the team's production secondly. So I'm all for it, bro. I couldn't agree more.
All right, now let's get to the part of the show that we don't like talking about, the stuff that probably the Ravens could do a little bit better. Penalties. Holy cow. Lots and lots of penalties.
11 for 85. Yeah, man, that's almost a whole football length worth of freebies, man. You can't give them 3 yards now. Granted, they didn't turn into points. We blanked them. But you just can't do that. 11 for 85 is just uncalled for, man. It's, again, disciplined football. I felt like even with the penalties, man, I didn't really, apart from me concerned or the people I was watching the game with, no one really complained about the officiating, which was a surprise for the first time. No one complained, oh, bad call. I mean, every call for me kind of was correct. It's just the Ravens need to cut it out.
I know, but here's the thing. There were three offensive holds. All three of them were against Ryan Jensen. This is his first time at center. He's the starter. This is one of the things I didn't like about him last year. I don't know if he has corrected the problems he's had in this offseason, but can this guy be the starting center if he's already getting three offensive holds by himself in the first game?
That's a great point, man. Jensen's got to clean up his act. Just three holds is uncalled for, especially when they come in inopportune times. Again, I have to go back to the film and really know what exact points they were and say, they cost us a first down or, we had to punt now because of that. But I felt like, because of the score and because of how dominant we were, we're not really going to harp on it much because it wasn't like, oh, Jensen, you cost us a game. We had third. We just ran it for a touchdown, Terrence West, and now I got called back because you had a hold. Now we got to kick a field goal, and we lose by three. So it's not that magnitude, but, Brandon, everything is magnified when there's a loss, and then we're looking at it. But it is something that needs to be addressed. Another thing was, and I thought it was sloppy, was some of the times where I seen Flacco under duress, we had to pick up the blitzes more, and I felt like we need to do a better job of blitz coverage. But this line is the first time they play together. I'm still going to grade him a little bit higher on that, but I feel like they need to pick up the blitzes there. I felt like Flacco was still pressured, and some of those throws, especially the one that went off of West's shoulders and it was picked off a deflection, I felt like that throw was rushed. He didn't get time to the play developed, and it broke down, and he just panicked and threw the ball real quick. Instead of throwing it away, he tried to jam it in there and make a play to Terrence West. So I feel like the line's got to come into their own, but Flacco really wasn't under much pressure as he wasn't sacked as much as Dalton was, and Dalton was under pressure a lot more, but we need to cut those mistakes out.
And another mistake Joe Flacco's got to figure out, two delay a game calls on Flacco.
Yeah, what was that?
At this point in his career, should he really be getting two? I mean, one maybe if something really weird is going on, but two delay a game calls in the same game? Come on, dude. I mean, I love Joe Flacco. I love the elite dragon number five, but come on. He's like a veteran player now. He should be able to manage the clock a little bit better.
Absolutely, man. And that was uncalled for, too. It was sloppy. And I felt like on the other side of that, I felt clock management was great. I felt like how we handled the clock management. Now, I just want to really focus on this. What we did well, not the penalties, but how about the third quarter alone where – and Joe Flacco was interviewed saying, hey, wasn't the prettiest thing to do and just handing the ball off, but how awesome was it that the whole third quarter we just took control, and that's a winning formula. And I'm proud of the Ravens for sticking to the run. And you can't make fans happy, man. At the end of the game, I was getting sick and tired of it. Well, why are we running it 45 times and throwing it 17? Why don't we throw it 50 times? If we did that, we would have lost the game, bud. And you can't make fans happy. Last year was we didn't run the ball. We hired Greg Roman, commitment to the run. Now it's, oh, we didn't pass it. We won a playoff game in New England with Joe Flacco, completed four passes. Four. He completed nine on Sunday. Let off. I mean, we won the game 20-0. It was a dominant defensive performance. Sometimes the offense will have to throw three touchdowns, and the defense might give up four, and we have to come back and win. It might happen that way. This is only week one, but it's a strong performance, and I feel like the defense set the bar so high, they have to continue the momentum. Anything less is going to be disappointing. The offense has room to improve, so if they start doing it, I feel like, okay, then there you go. They found their footing, but I'm not going to harp on it too much, man, but you know what I was a little bit upset about? Was the fact that they didn't finish that drive. In that third quarter, when they just kept getting first down after first down and they ended up with three, Harbaugh did acknowledge it. It was great to get seven there, but they got three. There's still a win where they were in the game because it was almost the fourth quarter at that time. It was already 20-0 at that point, and the Bengals were shut down. But I feel like the Ravens have to finish. They kicked two 25-yard field goals inside the red zone. That can't happen. You put Snowden Borders eight more points. Then it's 28-0. I mean, it just looks better. It looks cleaner. We have to finish because the elite teams that are in the AFC, we got to finish. They're gonna cook us.
Absolutely, and I agree with everything you said there. I do want to bring up though, you were saying fans weren't happy because they were running too much, not running enough last year, and I have run into those fans. However, I do want to talk about Joe's response to that. The Ravens won on Sunday. You really can't complain because the game plan worked. They did everything they wanted to. And like a lot of fans and people out there said, it was a boring game because everything was going our way. And it wasn't the flashiest move. I mean, Joe to Macklin was probably the flashiest play of that game. But Joe said it was kind of a boring game for him, that he didn't really have a lot of fun. It's working, though. Like, how do you keep Joe happy and have him still, like, get entertained and have a good time on the field, but also have the winning combination that we just saw this past weekend of the running plays and the passing game? Because, I mean, the running game looks good, passing looks good, but you also don't want Joe to just kind of get bored and not, like, have his heart in it. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's tough because even Suggs, a defender, kind of was like, oh, I want offense too, and which is weird. He's supposed to stop the offenses, but how do you keep Joe happy? I feel like winning does. I mean, you know, I don't think for a second, if I sit here and we interview Joe Flacco on my call and I ask him point blank, hey, Joe, it's do you rather throw five touchdowns a game and then lose every game and go, you know, or virtually every game and go 2-15 every year? Or would you rather hand a ball off 30 times, maybe throw one touchdown, no picks, and win the game by 10 or 15 and go to playoffs and have a chance for Lombardi? I'm sure he'll agree with me on the latter. He'll agree with me going to the Super Bowl every year and having a chance. Maybe he's joking. Maybe he's half serious. I'm not going to buy into it too much because it is Joe Flacco, but and he's tend to do that a lot in his press conferences. But I feel like you keep him happy. Just put the winning formula together and let's go win some games. But I don't think for a minute he's not a Tom Brady. He's not a diva in that regard to where he needs to be throwing the ball. I mean, Tom Brady threw zero touchdowns. So Flacco's already got one more touchdown on the year than Brady does. So how's Tom Brady kept happy? He has all the weapons in the world that Flacco would love to have, and he didn't throw any. So Chiefs kept him in check on last Thursday. So in regards to that, I think winning is the best formula to keep that at bay.
All right, so I think we pretty much covered everything for the game. However, before we get out of here, I do want to bring up, if you have an Apple TV, the Ravens have launched their own app to deliver streaming video to Apple TV. Unfortunately, I am a Roku and an Amazon Firebox user. I don't have Apple TV, but apparently through the Apple TV app store, you can download the Ravens app and you can watch Ravens TV. You can watch interviews, you can watch pressers, you can watch preseason, and then you can watch some of the Ravens programming as well. My favorite is Ravens Wired. So that's where they mic up a player for a game and follow them around, and I believe all this stuff aired on Comcast Sportsnet last year. And I'm going to nerd out a little bit here because I am a TV geek. But it's very interesting to me that Comcast Sportsnet said, you know what, we're going to focus on the Redskins. We're going to focus on Washington teams. We're no longer going to carry the Ravens anymore or any Baltimore teams. We're going to just focus on Washington. And the Ravens responded by going, okay, we're just going to continue to produce these shows, which I think they won like 5 or 6 Emmys this past June, and we're going to just be our own streaming service, and we're going to make our own app, because that's where kind of TV's going right now, is streaming and over-the-top programming is what it's called. But it's interesting that they're kind of cutting out the middleman and going directly to their fans using this Apple TV app. I kind of hope they come up with a Roku version in a little bit, because I still want to watch Ravens Wired and some of the other stuff. But definitely a cool idea for the Ravens, a free app, some programming you get to watch. If anybody's out there and has an Apple TV and has checked it out, let us know, please. Josh, do you have Apple TV? I mean, I know you're still getting set up with your new place and everything, but do you have an Apple TV?
No, I don't have Apple TV yet. I'm probably going to go more on the Xfinity Comcast just because it has everything I want right now. And I've been looking at a lot of live streaming as well. I feel like that's where the future of TV is going, and we know it's here. But, you know, for me and my entertainment, I might have to ride out a year or two in cable, at least for now. Because I was disappointed. Live streaming don't have a couple channels that I really love and some of my shows are on. And I'm like, it'd just be more money for me personally to go out and get those on a DVD set or whatever. So I feel like, you know, it just to me as an entertainment enthusiast and have my personal shows. But no, my brother's got it. I know a lot of people that have and they rave about it. I know a lot of people that have with the devices you have, a Roku and Fire Stick and Hulu and Netflix and everything else under the sun. And it's great, man. And I'm happy to hear that the Ravens are being innovative and being up with the times and getting that. And it definitely just speaks volumes again that we're a first-class franchise, and I can't say that enough. I'm just tickled to death about it.
Yeah, and that's another thing. They're the first NFL team, I believe, to do an Apple TV app, and they're also the first ones to update their own app on mobile devices, and you can actually do like Snapchat type of photos, and you get the facial recognition, and you get to like put some face paint on digitally, and you get to.
Did you do it yet? That one with the Raven that makes your eyes like red, like mine, obviously on game days, and makes your face like a bird. That's pretty legit, man. I love it.
That is pretty cool. I did the Ultimate Warrior paint on Sunday, so that's the filter I used.
Nice, man. I'm excited all around. How the seasons have been shaping up already. Can't wait to get going. And just some Brandon tidbits around the AFC North, man. How about the Browns, who are our next opponent? We'll get there on the Purple Friday preview later this week. But I have to give a round of applause to the Browns. They kept that game interesting and kept the Steelers right within arm's reach, man. It was only a 21-18 win. So AFC North could really shape up here in the next 3 weeks when we play Steelers in 2 weeks after the Browns. But we're 1-0, the Browns are 0-1. If we can put them in 0-2 hole and we go up 2-0, win 2 in the division, 2-0 on the season, it's going to set up well for us, man. And I don't know if you've paid attention around the league, but did you see any surprises this Sunday?
Biggest one, I think, was the Green Bay game. That's the one I kind of was paying attention to after the Ravens went off and Aaron Rodgers. He's not surprising. Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, but man, that the Green Bay game, they just seem to win by any means necessary. They just kind of hope for the best, and things sometimes just kind of work out.
Well, it's like Aaron Rodgers and his Hail Marys, man, and a lot of big surprises. How about Saxonville, man? As the nickname's going around, Jacksonville had 10 sacks as a defense, and we play them in Wembley in 2 weeks, so that might be another defensive squad. And even the Browns have a defense, man. They kept Le'Veon Bell in check all day long.
Yeah.
And I was very shocked about that, being a fantasy owner in my own right. And I was like, he didn't get that many yards. And Antonio Brown went off as usual for the Steelers. Now, a lot of injuries, man. And one that was big for fantasy owners and a big blow to the Arizona Cardinals, and they're all pro. David Johnson is out 12 weeks with the wrist injury. He's going to miss a significant time. Saying injury reports are piling up, man, and a lot of shakeups in the NFL. Not a hot big surprise, but I will tell you this, Brandon. The three worst teams are going to be this year are the Colts, the Bears, and the Jets. Those teams are going to be awful. Now, the Bears, they kept the defending NFC champions. It was a close game up there in Chicago, and the Falcons ended up winning that game on a late defensive play, which is weird because they gave up, you know, the the big lead in the Super Bowl. But across the league, no big surprises. Again, the AFC's wide open, as we know, and we play a big one this weekend against the Browns at home. And I can't wait, man. 1-0 defensive performance. I feel like the Ravens are going to introduce the defense first. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be pumping. I can't wait to get there. But Brandon, man, I think we can definitely say, quoth Raven, nevermore in this one. We brought this one home.
Absolutely. And I mean, surprises, Patriots losing to the Chiefs. That was pretty shocking. But like, yeah, the Colts, my God. Indy, what was it, like 43-3? Jeez.
45-9. And they their quarterback he threw two pick sixes, and he finally got benched. Two pick sixes. And you think, and this is what I'm saying, guys. If and this is to the preaching to the Flacco haters, which I hate to do, but I can't understand that. But here's the thing. We could be the Colts. We need a quarterback. So you can say Flacco's overpaid or handcuffing the team, and I'm going to get my high horse for a minute, Brandon. Flacco got paid for what he did, not for what he is doing. So get that through your thick skulls, and we'll be going and moving forward, okay? He got paid for a five-year body of work. He gambled and said, no, I'm not going to take your contract. I'm going to ride out my existing one. He won the Super Bowl. Now he said, pay me because look what I did. Same thing at my work. I get a bonus through my whole body of work through a year, and if my body of work's great, I get a pay for what I did, not for what I'm doing currently. That you build it as you go. So I can't say enough. You have to pay a quarterback, and we've seen these god-awful teams. We could be the Jets, who are just anemic at quarterback. The Browns have a revolving door as much as a department store at quarterback. And even it's embarrassing that Ben Roethlisberger won a game in Cleveland. He's won more games in Cleveland than their own quarterbacks have in their history. So that's an embarrassing stat. So, again, we could be on that stat sheet, but we're not. So love them, hate them. Number five, he's the franchise. He's the leader on offense. Suggs is the leader on defense. We have fires across the board. Bring it home, Brandon.
And, last thing before we get out of here. The LA Rams, is their logo brand new this year, or were they just the blue and white last year as well?
No, they actually did a color change. Yeah, you're right. Good observation. It used to be, I think, the gold trim on the helmets and all that. They went to that black and white classic look. So that is a new look going to LA.
I dig that, dude. I saw their helmets, and it's just like the matte blue and white, and there's like not a lot of gloss or anything to it. That's a big trend right now, and I really dig it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, man, I've heard some fans love it and some fans that hate it, and and that's a good uniform change. Not really much other than that happening for uniforms, but I will say this, AFC, the Raiders are going to be tough to deal with this year, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I just hate to say it, but they look good. Beast Mode look good. Derek Carr looks sharp. Raiders, man, they're going to be up there with the Patriots and Steelers and maybe us and the Chiefs. So, I mean, we're in that kind of company right now, you know, and all those teams are 1-0 except the Patriots, which is great. They start behind the eight ball there, thanks to the Kansas City Chiefs. But apart from those teams, the Monday Night for a snoozer. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going to Minnesota later this year, and we obviously play, the Ravens play them. But, dude, how about Sam Bradford and what he did on Monday Night Football for the opener, man? He lit it up, and this guy, Thielen, had like 160 receiving yards, man. There's just all these unsung names are just coming out. Sam Bradford played well. That defense was tenacious, and I tweeted it out today, and you can tell, Brandon, the tide's turning when an Alex Smith and a Sam Bradford outdo a Brady and outdo a Breeze, and it's thankful to defense. I mean, it's a team effort. It's not just a quarterback out there playing, but we're seeing a shift in the quarterbacks, and Brady's 40, Breeze is 38, and they're showing their age maybe, and maybe it's time, and we need to appreciate Flacco for what he's doing now, because in 5, 6, 7 years, who knows, he could be done or he will be done, and then we're going to be like, who's next? And he could suck or he could be the next great one, so we just don't know, man.
Absolutely, and thank you, Minnesota. Because of you, I won the office pool this week, so that was real cool. But
man, shout out to the purple team.
That's right. But if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. And a lot of fans have actually been doing that this weekend. And I want to say thank you to everybody who has written or tweeted or Facebooked Josh or I. It has been awesome interacting with all you guys out there. We never shun away from somebody willing to talk Ravens with us. So thank you so much to everybody out there. But you can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, always, people can tweet me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Whenever news breaks and we find out about it, we will let you know as well. It's our own little Facebook Ravens community. Come in and enjoy the fun. So that's always fun. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please write us an iTunes review and let people know on social media. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Maybe take one of those Raven selfies from their app and then let people know, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out. Actually, I shouldn't say this week. That's pretty much it for the show until Friday, because we will be back with a Purple Friday preview as we get ready for the Ravens and the Browns. So, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon. You need to knock the rust off, man. You're a little rusty. Not used to it yet, are you?
It's week one. You know, Joe's got no rust. I shouldn't either. That's my fault.
Hey, it's all good, all good. And I'll leave you with this last stat, Brandon. Do you know what the Ravens gave up in total yards on defense?
How much?
221.
Ooh.
Impressive. They gave up 144 passing yards and 77 rushing yards. Great effort, defensive all around. And speaking of when you were going in the closing of, you know, the iTunes review and all that, I want to give a shout-out to Dave Hollingsworth. He asked to follow me on Twitter. I followed him back. He asked about the song today, and I just want to give a shout-out to the fans. I love the interactions, man. This makes me just gush over with excitement. You know, the Ravens are one thing, but this is why we do what we do. And just, I love talking to fans all over the globe, not only just in the U.S., but just, you know, we have fans in Sweden, we have fans in Australia, I think Holland even. I think we have, you know, we got the United Kingdom covered. That's going to be great covering Wembley in a few weeks here coming up. Can't wait. Wish I was making the trip. And people coming down, man, from our Ohio fans that are, we're going to be coming out for the Steeler game. You know, ask them where we go to eat. We're going to take them to Jimmy's, have a great time. You know, some people are coming out of country. We've got a fan. He's coming out, coming in from out of the country. He's coming in for Thursday night football. I can't say it enough, and Brandon can probably agree with me, that we just thank you guys. And I love the eagerness. I was watching the Facebook feeds and the passion. And then we had a fan this week from Montreal message me back on the Call Facebook page. Montreal, Canada, man. And I'm loving to ask him, hey, how do you get to the games? If you can't watch them, how do you get in? They're streaming it. This one guy got creative. He's streaming the radio feed and then watching Red Zone and then go back and watch the highlights. You know, it's just they get Ravens football by any means necessary. And I don't want to take that for granted, because I have season tickets and I can go to games. I go out and watch them here. And you just don't want to take it for granted, because there's Ravens fans displaced all over the place that don't even never been to the stadium, never probably heard a game live, seen a game live, or probably even watched the Ravens game. I don't know. So it's just very awesome that we can have that connection and provide that from week one and beyond. And it's just, I love the eagerness, man. It's just, people are asking, when are you doing a show? Me and Brandon, I was hoping to get one done as early as Monday night, but we couldn't make it work. But we're here to do the show for you guys, not only for our benefit to, you know, give it a forum to talk Ravens football and our passions, but just want to shout out, say thank you to everybody making this possible. Ravens flew high on Sunday, flexed those muscles. It was dominant. I was just loving every savoring every bit of it. And you see my tweets during the game. I'm like loving the defense, and you know, look at me now. Look what we're doing. Can't wait. We got a big another AFC North matchup. We took one in the North, and let's do it again. With that, I leave you. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.